Some government science projects exist because of geopolitics. NASA has the International Space Station. It's the destination for the manned space program, and it's nominally in orbit to serve science, but it's primarily there because it serves America's broader national interests. The National Science Foundation is building the ground-based equivalent of the space station at one of the most exotic spots on Earth. NPR's Richard Harris reports.
Listen to this. That was the sound of me walking around the world. I'm standing directly on the South Pole of the Earth right now. It's thrilling. It's a wonderful sight. The sun is in the sky. The horizon is clear. In all directions, flat and long and endless like a frozen ocean. Off in one direction I see an astronomical observatory. In another direction I see the big dome with the American flag flying on top. And straight ahead of me is the construction site for a new huge South Pole station that's getting put together right now.
This is where they're putting in the new station. This thing looks like a beer can. Is going down, goes down a few flights under the ground, under the snow, I should say. And then all these arches and tunnels here where the fuel store, the power plant, machine shops, garages will be.
Astronomer John Carlstrom is the reason and the excuse for this elaborate new structure, which is part utility cellar and part penthouse. The station is being built to accommodate scientists like himself, but science is also a pretext to stake out the South Pole for geopolitical purposes. That's been true since the United States built its first station at the South Pole.
The original one was built in 1957. It's right out about there.
I don't see it.
No, we gain about a foot of snow, this hard-packed snow, a year, and plus drifting. So things just, if they're left out, they're buried.
By that calculation, there should be 90 feet of ice and snow on top of the tent Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen left in 1911. He was the first to reach the pole, and because of that, Norway asserted a vast wedge of Antarctica as Norwegian territory. And Norway isn't alone. Six other countries have overlapping claims to this frozen continent: Australia, New Zealand, France and the UK, Chile, and Argentina. The United States doesn't claim any territory, but it reserves the right to do so. And Jerry Marty, the National Science Foundation's top man at the pole, says all this geopolitics comes to a head at this one spot on Earth.
Those claims do converge at 90 degrees south latitude. I think that the United States' presence here is kind of a mediator and an entity that, shall we say, monitors that.
Those claims are on hold thanks to a treaty signed in 1959. So Antarctica is the only continent that's shared and demilitarized. The continent can only be used for peaceful purposes under the Antarctic Treaty, so scientists end up as the foot soldiers in this bit of geopolitics. A few years ago, a Blue Ribbon review found that the science they do is worthwhile, first rate even. But the review also concluded the new station is worth building for geopolitics alone. Carlstrom from the University of Chicago is occupied with truly cosmic concerns. He's studying the Big Bang with a radio telescope atop a nearby building.
This is a completely modern laboratory. We have our own machine shop, everything you can want.
It's pretty crowded.
Inside, it's toasty warm. The shop has drill presses, neat boxes of screws and electronics parts, along with half-built pieces of high-tech equipment. And most important, engineers and technicians who know how to deal with the reality of the South Pole. If you eavesdrop on the shop talk, though, you are reminded of the otherworldly nature of the place.
How are the gearboxes working?
Well, he tested them, I think, you know, minus 55, uh-huh. minus 60, and they're working not as well as in a minus 20, but they're working.
But these days, scientists are handily outnumbered at the pole by the construction crew. Cranes, bulldozers, and forklifts crawl across the snow.
Jerry, your timing's impeccable.
What is it? You're leaving.
We're leaving.
Oh, man.
Don't want to miss lunch.
Half a dozen men have just climbed down off steel girders, which they were sitting astride in the bitter cold. they are gradually building a steel frame on top of the rust-colored columns that tower over the snow.
This thing went in like a dream, which...
Went in
first.
The way it's supposed to.
Yeah, first.
For once, huh?
Yeah. I said maybe it's the wrong piece, but anyhow.
Jerry Marty is in charge of construction, as well as the whole South Pole station, during the peak season.
All right,
guys. See you later.
So what's going on here?
What we have in front of us is what is known as the elevated facility, which will rest 15 feet off the surface and will have in it housing for the 110 to 150 people, the bedrooms. It'll have the food service and dining facilities. It'll have the medical facilities, recreation facilities, all the admin offices, and all of the communications.
So what you've described makes living here seem actually quite easy. I wonder, is it too easy?
That's a good question.
I mean, people come to Antarctica partly for the adventure, and if you end up sort of in a hermetically sealed box that is very much 100% America on the inside, you may not feel like you're someplace so exotic, except for the astounding view and the peculiar weather.
Well, I think one of the changes people are going to experience is for all these years since 1975, we've lived inside the dome, and our meals were served in a building inside the dome without windows. Now, on the second floor of this new facility, you'll sit at your dining table with this entire row of windows, and you will look out over the geographic South Pole. You'll look out at the scientific research facilities. You'll have a whole different feeling to what it's like to work here.
That geodesic dome Marty mentioned is a testament to the power of nature. 25 feet of it is already under the surface, and it's only a matter of time before the dome disappears entirely. But once snow reaches the bottom of the elevated station, Marty says, they will simply turn some jacks inside its legs, raise the whole thing up, and insert additional 10-foot segments into the stilts.
We can actually raise this facility twice at increments of 10 each. We therefore believe that this station will survive approximately 40, 45 years of usage before it succumbs to Mother Nature.
When it's done, in the year 2005 or so, the station will look like a modern two-story office building perched on stilts. The total budget is about $150 million. But it says in no uncertain terms that the United States is here to stay at the South Pole. And just as the space station dominates NASA's activities in orbit, pole construction dominates the Science Foundation's activities in Antarctica. Prefabricated station pieces sail by ship to the coast of Antarctica. From there, they're loaded onto Air National Guard cargo planes. These planes have skis so they can land on the groomed snow at the pole. In fact, they made 250 round trips to the pole this past season. And just as the space station signals America's dominance in orbit, polar air power, in the name of science, is yet one more reminder that the United States is the only country that can project its presence across the entire Antarctic continent. Richard Harris, NPR News, at the South Pole.